Hello.
And I was so tempted to just go, you know, hey, Mum, come on, the doctors get it wrong all the time. And, you know, look what life, you know, what you've got left, and look around and we're all here for you. And I thought, no, yeah. Bullshit. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not. I refuse to.
Hello. I could eat about 1.5 million of these.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Welcome to the It's a Drama podcast.
Thank you.
If you can't say something nice.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close up. Hello, and welcome to the It's a Drama podcast. I'm Liz.
And I'm Brian.
And we're back this week with another behind the scenes episode. I feel like every week now was just saying it's a behind the scenes episode, but it is.
Yeah.
And that's the way it
is. Our lives have changed so much in the last sort of 5 months, 6 months.
Yeah. Yep. And we've talked to you about this before, the whole behind the scenes thing. For those of you who are listening to the podcast for the first time, which I can't imagine you would be, but
you never know, do you?
You never know. But if you are, then we're talking about my mum having cancer and how we are navigating that. And it started off, didn't it, where we sort of made one episode. And I was thinking about this morning when I was getting ready. I thought, I never, ever in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would share such personal, intimate details about my life and my mum's life on our life on the internet. I really didn't. But we are. And
well, do you know what? We're normally sort of a little bit happy chappies when we're doing our podcast and things. And this has been such a life-changing experience.
Mm.
And we still want a podcast.
Yes,
because you don't want to just let all, you know, your stuff that you've spent years just creating and doing and then just letting that go. So
and we did talk about this last week, didn't we? Yeah. We were saying about that decision to carry on and keep going forward. But it's almost like we're in it now, so we have to carry on because it's like, you know, this is what this show is about, this episode is about being vulnerable. Because I tell you what, I get so many gorgeous, gorgeous comments from people and they say, oh, you know, we love the fact that you're so vulnerable. And I don't want you to ever think that that comes easy to me because it doesn't. Every time I'm like wringing my hands here and just thinking, oh, no. And every time Bryce says to me, we don't have to release it, Liz. Just say what you want to say. And if we don't have to release it. And then at the end, I'm always like, do you know what? That'll be really helpful. So let's just release it.
Yeah, but that's the whole idea is why we do release this, because if it does help one person that's going through a similar thing and they can just relate to it, and you think, oh, yeah, okay, I'm not alone. That's the thing.
So what we wanted to talk to you about this week was being vulnerable and in particular, I wanted to share three stories with you, three short stories that all lead to being super, the most vulnerable I've ever felt in my whole life. And I'm sharing those stories with you in the hope that it gives you the courage to do the same. And also, I just wanted to add that the only reason that I'm really doing this podcast, because we've had one hell of a 2 weeks, we really have. It's been probably the hardest 2 weeks of our lives at the moment, certainly mine. And you know, the reason we're releasing this is because, well, I'm going to share with you at the end of the show the reason we're releasing it, the thing that gave me the courage to release it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we just wanted to talk to you. I wanted to share the latest newsletter that I wrote to my front row newsletter people was where I just poured my heart out about something that I did to my mum in hospital, said to my mum in hospital. And I wrote that newsletter and published it. And I also just wanted to share it here on the podcast. And I thank you for being listening, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hold it together.
That's
Liz.
It. Come on,
come
Liz.
On,
you
you're
got
only
this.
4 minutes yeah. in. You're only...
We're outside.
We can do this, yeah.
We can do it.
We can do this. And for those of you who are not watching on YouTube, I know we have a lot of people who watch on YouTube, but for those of you who are just listening in the car or going to work or at home doing your thing, we're sitting outside. It's autumn in New Zealand. It's the 1st of April, or is it the 2nd? I can't remember.
It's the 2nd, yeah.
And it's one of those days where everything is just beautifully still.
Yeah.
The leaves aren't moving. everything is just calm. And when we sat out here on our chairs today, we were like, do you know what? It feels right. Yeah, it feels right to share this.
Yeah.
So first of all, I just want to jump straight on in, Brian, mm-hmm. and just say about being vulnerable and the how difficult it is to be vulnerable and to say the things you really want to say.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of research because I'm all into thinking, well, why am I behaving like that? And why do I not say that? Mm. And I did some research and it said that the reason people pull back from being vulnerable, from sharing what they want to share and saying what they really feel and want to say, is because they feel like they are going to come over as being needy. Yeah. Like they will be weak. That's a big one, weak.
Big one is weak, isn't it? You know, because they think, oh, yeah, why are you saying that? You just get on with it.
Yeah.
Type thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shamed, like, you know, like you, that would just be hideous to open your heart to someone and them just to just shame you and just go, well, I can't even imagine, but it would just be horrendous. So people fear being shamed. But the biggest one, and this is the one I had to overcome this time, the story I'm going to share with you about what happened with Mum in the hospital, is the fear of stressing someone out.
Yeah.
Fear of making things worse by saying what you want to say, because you tend to think, well, I tend to think, oh no, that'll just make them feel like this. So you just keep that to yourself, Liz. You know, just keep everything happy and keep everything cheerful. So that is what I had to overcome. So that was another big one, is the distress of stressing someone out, you know, just making matters worse by you opening your heart and saying how you feel.
Right.
So yeah,
yep.
That's that. All right, but before I jump into these stories, Bri, first of all, I just want to say thank you for just sitting here and listening and just agreeing to do this with me, because I know that you've read the newsletter,
yep.
You know these stories, and so I feel as if I'm kind of just telling you the stories from my heart. So thank you for just listening here and setting up all this podcast stuff to be able to give us the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so story number one is, I want to take you back 28 years, I think it was, when my mum's dad was dying of cancer. So my granddad was called Jim, and heavy smoker, a welder when he was younger, and he developed lung cancer. And the story is, and this is a well-known story because my mum has told me this story many, many times, that when he was in bed upstairs, so they had a two up, two down, you know, like a not two up, two down.
A semi-detached house.
Semi-detached house. And my granddad was upstairs in bed.
Yeah.
He was being nursed at home. And my mum came down from, she was in Portsmouth, and she came down to spend time with my grandma and look after my granddad. And my auntie was there as well. And you know what it's like, all the family are there. Mm-hmm. I went down from Bath. You were looking after the cafe, and I came down, and all this sort of business that happens when someone is seriously sick. And he was in bed, and you know, everyone's going upstairs and taking him a cup of tea, and are you okay, Jim? And backwards and forwards. And he calls my mum up from downstairs, and he shouts, "Linda," you know, and she said, "Oh, hang on, and I'll go up and see him." And she says that she went, this is her telling me, she said, "I went upstairs and I said, 'What is it, Dad?' She said, 'Because I was busy.' You know, she said, my mum was downstairs. She said, we had neighbours coming in. The doctor was just about to arrive. The kettle's boiling." She also had us three kids and businesses and, you know, all the rest of it. And he was laying in bed and he said to my mum, "I don't want to die, Linda." And my mum said, she'll never forget it. She said, she just said, she went into automatic mode, probably because of this, you don't want to distress them more. Or it might have been because she felt like she was being weak by sitting on his bed and talking about it. But anyway, she said that she didn't want to get into a big conversation about this because she was busy and she had things to do, and now wasn't the time, and he was really ill and he probably didn't know what he was saying anyway. So she turned round to my granddad and said, "Oh, Dad, don't be so daft. We're all going to die. You know, don't be so silly." And she straightened his sheets and, "Come on, shall I bring you a cup of tea? I'll bring you some water." And that was that. And that was the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
And my granddad died a couple of days later.
Mm-hmm.
And they never got the chance to have any conversation. You know, she didn't go into too much detail about the rest of it, but that was just something that she kept telling me throughout the years after he died about that, that she had that big regret.
Regret, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so a couple of weeks ago, well, probably about a month ago or something like that, I took Mum out. This was before she'd gone to hospital, and I took her out for a drive in the car. And we were driving along, and it's just so weird because it's just, there isn't normal conversation anymore. You know, there isn't.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not quite the same as what it was.
It isn't.
For sure. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And you hope to God it will be. And you think, oh, please, please, please. I'll think of something really good to say this time. Like, you know, and we'll talk about something really meaningful. And I just, everything I was trying was just falling, you know, just on deaf ears. It was just like she didn't want to talk about it.
You're very tired though, wasn't she?
She was very tired, Bri, yeah. And I could see that she wanted to talk about something. And so I just kept quiet and I was driving thinking, you know, just, oh, it's horrible because your mind is just racing, trying to think of something good to say or something, I don't know, just...
Yeah, take her mind off it or talk about something completely different.
Yeah.
You know,
even
if it's about your life or something or anything, isn't it? Like, you know, not just what's going on.
Anyway, she turned to me and I said, she did this big sigh and I said, are you okay, Mum? And she said, oh, Lizzie, she said, I really regret it, you know? And I thought, oh no, what do you regret? Like, you know, and I said, what is it? And she said, I really regret not sitting down and talking to my dad when he told me that he was scared to die. And I mean, we're in the car and we had nothing, nowhere else to go. We have nothing else to do. I had nothing distracting me, nothing. And I could have just sat in the car then and said, come on then, let's talk about it. How did you feel? Like, you know, but I didn't, Bri.
Mm.
I instead said, pretty much repeated what she'd said to Granddad. And I said, oh, Mum, that was years ago. No, you don't need to worry about that now.
Mm.
And I could see she almost looked at me as if like, that's not what I wanted to hear. You know, and I was just faffing and just, I said, oh, Granddad would have, you know, he was so happy that you were beside him when he died. And, you know, you were there, you were supporting your mum and, you know, your sister and everything. Don't worry, Mum. Don't be thinking about that now. I said, don't stress yourself out about that now, Mum. But I could see that she wanted to talk about it, but I couldn't, Bri. And so, you know, it's just, again, it's that thing of fear. Of just thinking, no, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go into that big, deep conversation. Pretty much exactly the same as what she was when he said the same
to
her.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that was that conversation. I think I said to her something like, you know, do you want a Magnum? And she's like, no, I don't want a Magnum. And
as in an ice cream.
Ice cream, yeah. And I drove her home and she got out the car and then I just thought, why didn't I just... say it. Why didn't I talk to her about it? You know, why didn't I say something?
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I just told you because I was scared of distressing her.
Right, right.
Of making her feel worse.
Is that the only reason, do you think?
That I didn't say it to her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I just didn't. And also because you don't want to feel like you want to get into a big, deep conversation about death and just...
You're out for a Sunday drive and that's
my job here is to make you, give you a change of scenery and just talk about the grandchildren and no, I don't want to talk about that. But that is what she wanted to talk about. And it was... I didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
So going along on this story now, we've got... one huge regret from my mum and her granddad and her dad. And now my regret where I'm thinking, oh, that was my chance. I could have had this really big, I should have just pulled the car over. I should have turned the engine off and I should have said, right, Mum, what is it you want to talk about? But I didn't. Mm. And luckily, my mum didn't die 2 days later and me sitting there thinking, oh, you know, I should have done that. I could have done that. That was the chance. And that's the next story that I wanted to talk to you about was the how that came about.
Yeah.
So the third story, and again, thank you for your patience here and thank you for listening and listening to this because I don't know how interesting this is to someone listening, but...
it's interesting, Les, because even I'm interested, even though I know what you're going to say, it's interesting because it's more of actually what's on your mind than what you put down on paper sometimes, isn't it, you know?
So the third little story happened 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, maybe, I don't know. It seems like 2 minutes ago, and it seems like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you're going through this.
Time is very weird at the moment.
Yeah. I was walking the dog on the beach, and my sister is over from Gisborne. She's come to support and be here with mum, and she has been an amazing, amazing support for me and for our family. And she's here to see her mum, and she is here, is what I want to say. And I'm walking the dog. It's early in the morning, and I get a text, and it's from a sister, and it said, at the hospital with mum, the doctor has just told her she's got weeks to live. Please get here as soon as possible. She's asking for you. And I just read the text, and you know when you just feel like, fuck, just my world has just stopped now, like, you know, because it's like someone like just gets a spotlight, zooms out on you and goes, there you go, Liz, you know, what are you going to do now, sort of thing. And I wrote this in the email. I don't remember, as you wouldn't, I don't remember how I got home. I don't remember going to the hospital. I don't remember what I did with the dog. I don't remember any of it. All I knew is I had to go to the hospital. And as I was driving to the hospital, again, I'm thinking in my mind, okay, this is what's going to happen, Liz. You're going to go to the hospital. You're going to park up. You're going to walk into the room. And your mum is going to tell you what you already know, actually, because your sister's just told you. So it won't be a massive shock, but, and you knew it anyway, really. Deep down, you kind of knew it. It doesn't take, you know, much. You would see someone and it's...
But still, it's the finality of it, isn't it? Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It is.
And no hope. And it's like, well, you've just been told.
Yeah.
It's weeks. Yeah.
And so I just thought, what are you going to say when you walk in that room? Bearing in mind what had happened in the car and all this going on with my granddad. And I thought, come on, Liz, you've just got to just say something that's going to just really ease her mind and really make her feel safe and just make her feel not scared, you know. And I just couldn't think of a thing. I just couldn't think of a thing to say. And I thought, it's fine. I'll just get there and I'll work it out when I get there and it will be fine. And so I get to the hospital and go up in the lift. She's on the fourth floor. Oh, just like a dream, you know, just like a dream. You're just walking down the corridor, people walking towards you, smiling. I don't remember it, but it was just, I just felt like, you know, like when you feel like you're looking at your own life from above and you can see yourself walking around and, but that's not you. And yeah, I just felt, that's how it felt. And I walked into the room. My sister was coming out and she just said, you know, I'll just give you a minute. I walked into the room and immediately went into daughter mode. Yeah. I just was like, oh, it's hot in here, mum. Are you okay? It's a bit warm. She didn't say anything. And I'm like, oh, so I've opened these blinds. And she said, don't touch the blinds, Lizzie. Don't touch the blinds. I went, all right, then. I thought, oh no, now I can't even moan about the blinds and what am I going to... And I sat down beside her bed, I pulled the chair over and just like, you know, all I was thinking was, please tell me what to say, mum. You know, when you just... Something bad happens at school when you're a kid and you just like, your mum says, oh, just say this to them next time. If the teacher says that, you just say this and just, you know, you've always got your mum to tell you what to say.
Mm.
And I was just thinking, oh, please tell me what to say. You know, just... Anyway, I sit down by the bed and I can't really remember. All I just remember is, you know, she's just playing with my hair, you know, just touching my hair. Anyway, she said what she had to say, repeated what the doctors had said. And... Even right then, I was thinking, make it better, say something good, you know, just make it right. Don't say what you're thinking. So just went silent.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh no, even worse, like, you know, silence. That just sounds like you don't even care now. You know, now you don't even say anything. And just
rubbish is that? And the words wouldn't come to me. I was just too scared. I was just too scared of upsetting her, too scared of making everything worse, making it about me, making it just making her stressed out. Anyway, she just said, she could see that I was like upset, and she said, oh, hey, come on, it's not the end of the world. And then it was like something just clicked inside me, and it was just say what is on your mind, Liz. And I just started by saying, oh, but it is, Mum. You know, it is the end of the world though, isn't it? You know, because you're just about to leave my world, and that's the end of that world together, me and you. And anyway, so I told her everything that I was feeling, is what I said. Yeah. I told her everything. And I didn't hold back. And it just all flowed out. And in the end of it, she just said, thank you. She actually said, thank you, princess, because that's what she calls me. And it was just like a massive relief, a massive blanket had been taken off us. Like the blinds had been opened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like. And we just sat there. I just felt like I didn't feel weak. I didn't feel stupid. I didn't feel like I'd stressed her out. I just felt like I'd given her this gift. And it just felt so good, is what it felt. It felt like a relief. And that is the story that I wanted to share with everyone, with you listening to this, and also with you, Bri.
Yeah.
Because I know you read the email, but it was one of those moments in my life that I just thought, you're never, ever, 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 ever going to regret that, Liz.
No, you're never going to get that moment again.
No,
are you?
And you're never going to get that moment again. And I was so proud of myself for listening to my heart and just saying how I felt. And there that I wanted to share as well, that the reason that I did that is because, and going back to that whole vulnerable thing, you know, that vulnerable feeling, like how easy it is to say things, because you can see that it's not easy. It's far, far, far from easy, but it is necessary. And that's what I kept coming back to, is it's necessary to make you feel, to make her know. She's not going to leave this world without knowing that how much she means to me. And I was so tempted to just go, you know, hey, Mum, come on, the doctors get it wrong all the time. And, you know, look what life, you know, what you've got left, and look around and we're all here for you. And I thought, no, bullshit. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not. I refuse to. And yes, I was glad that I did.
Yeah. No, and that's really what you're trying to get out to everybody, isn't it? Is say it now. You know, don't wait. Just, you know, I'll say it tomorrow, I'll do it the next day, and it could be too late. So,
yeah.
You know.
Do you know what I want to say? And this is what's made, earlier in the episode, I said to you, I'm going to share why I shared this. Because I could have just kept that to myself and just sent it out as an email and that was it. Like, because it's a lot easier to write it down than it is to actually sit in front of a microphone and certainly sit in front of a camera. But the reason I wanted to share it, I'm sorry if I sound all snotty, it's horrible, isn't it? God, the worst podcasting sound ever. I'm sorry, really apologize for that. But the reason I wanted to share it is because vulnerability doesn't always look massive and big and brave and go into your mum's bedside when she's dying and telling her how you feel. It doesn't always look like that. Mm-hmm. Vulnerability looks like this. This is what vulnerability can also look like. So I got a comment on YouTube. We got a comment on YouTube from a lady called Wendy Hellyer. And she met, and I'm using your name, Wendy, because that your name is on YouTube. So I hope you don't mind me using that, but it is there on public YouTube. So public YouTube, I don't know if that's a word or not, but Wendy commented and she said, "I've been listening to you and Brian since COVID days." And she said, "I'm a long," what was her quote? She said, "I'm a first time commenter, a long time listener." Mm-hmm. And apparently she's been listening to us all about New Zealand when all COVID was going on and New Zealand was in lockdown, and she was just feeling so sad and so upset. And she listened to us because it made her love New Zealand again and feel positive about New Zealand. And she said, she shared some really personal stuff. And I thank you for that, Wendy. And that to me, I thought, oh my God, you've been listening to us for all these years mm-hmm. and you've never ever commented.
Yeah.
And that might have been because she didn't feel brave enough. I don't know the reason, Wendy, but you to take the courage and to be so vulnerable and put a comment publicly on YouTube, that's courageous, Bri. It's so courageous and it's so giving. And by Wendy giving, and lots of other people as well that I want to mention in a minute, but by giving something like that to someone, by saying, do you know what? Thank you for being so real and thank you for being so positive and thank you for this and that. It gives you the power or the courage to give back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
It gives you the courage to give back. And so that's why I shared this podcast. And just to say thank you and just to thank you for giving me the courage to go on and be vulnerable in whichever way it is that we choose to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Well done, you.
Thank you.
Yeah. That wasn't easy, was it? Hey?
Do you know what, Bri? It like I say, it never is. What is it? It hasn't been easy for you to sit and listen to it. And it's just.
Yeah, not as hard as you to say it, though. But yeah, it's.
But
it's,
it helps people, Bri.
Of course it does. And that's what the whole.
It helps. Yeah.
And even if it's anything, do it now. Don't wait.
No, I know. And that's what I wrote on my email. I just thought, again, it doesn't have to be your dying words, you know, your words to your dying parent. It can be, how many times do you think throughout the day, oh, I love Bri.
Yeah.
Just love him. And just send a message.
Yeah.
Or to Sunny, you know, I loved it that he made that cottage pie. I love you, Sunny.
Yeah.
I loved your cottage pie the other day. I'm proud of you, Tess.
Yeah.
You know, or I do it. I try and do it as much as I can with the people who comment on our YouTube or emails. I just email back and just say, you're amazing. You're flipping brilliant because...
It takes a lot.
It does, and it's so easy not to, Bri. It's so easy to just think, oh, they already know that.
Yeah.
Brian knows how much I love him. I'm married to him. Yeah. You know how much. Yeah. But no, it's just do it.
Yeah, that little voice in your head pops up and goes, all right, I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Do something else instead. It's easier.
Yeah.
And it's more comfortable just to carry on without saying those things because it's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the other day, my sister, like I say, she's come from Gisborne and she came, and I have never in my life seen someone so incredible as her around my mum and the hospital. And she's not a nurse, she's a teacher, but she should be some sort of nurse or a counsellor or something to do with helping people in crisis.
Yeah.
And I was watching her and I thought, I'm just going to tell her. And we kind of haven't got that relationship, me and my sister. We haven't really got a soppy, do you know what, Mel, I love you so much. Yeah, I don't know. We've never been like that. We're not really that kind of family.
Mm.
And so it doesn't come natural for me to be like that with her.
Yeah.
But I was watching her and I thought, she doesn't even know how brilliant she is. You know, she keeps... Like we all do, like, oh, I haven't done enough, or I should have done that, or why did I say that? And I thought tonight at dinner, because I knew that we were going to be sitting down for dinner, the three of us, and I thought tonight at dinner, I'm going to say to her, you are absolutely amazing, and you are such a wonderful person, and you're doing so much for Mum, and I'm so glad you're here. And I thought to myself, I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we sat down for dinner that night, and I just got this... wall come up in front of me, Bri. I did. And I was like,
a too hard wall.
Yeah, it was. Yep. It was like, no, it's too difficult. And I was like, say it. And I was, no, I can't, I'm not going to say it now, it's not the right time. I'll save it, I'll write her a card, do a little text, message, whatever. I don't know, I'm not going to say it. I cleared the table, dinner was finished, we cleared the table, and she sat down next to, on the couch, and I just said, do you know what, I've got something to say before we put the TV on. I just need to tell you this. And I told her, and she's like, oh, that's so nice. And I'm just like, it felt so good. It felt so good to tell people what a difference they make in your life and how wonderful they are and just every good thing about them. It feels so good to do that. And it feels brilliant to receive it, but I think it feels better to tell it and say it and just let people know. So
it's always better to give a present than to receive one sometimes, eh? Not all the time, but it does.
So that's all I wanted to say on this podcast. I kind of have hogged this podcast a little bit, but...
Do you know what, Liz? It's your podcast at the end of the day.
No,
you started it.
It's our podcast, but it's just, it's one of those things that it wasn't really up for, you know, a discussion. It was just something that happened.
You need to tell the story.
Yeah. But before we, I feel like you've got something to say.
No, I don't want to, I'm not going to chip in with anything because, you know, I've said the things I wanted to say, which is just like, hey, do it now. Don't wait because you'll regret it. How many songs have been written, you know, like Luther Vandross, I'd Love to Have Danced With My Father Again or whatever that song was. And you just think, yeah, he never did it, like, you know, or never told him he loved his dad or whatever it was, like, you know.
Do you know what as well? I think I just need to say this as a little disclaimer because I have been thinking about this, about doing this podcast, and I do need to say this. This isn't about making people feel, like you say, Luther Vandross, I wish I'd danced with my father. This isn't about making people feel like, oh, damn, I wish I'd said that. This is about going on in the future to the people you have here
now. You're
still
there for whoever's here still. Yeah.
Because let's face it, who doesn't have, oh, I wish I'd said that to my grandma. But this is about moving forward and just being vulnerable, I suppose, just giving what you've got and saying those things. And while I'm on that subject, before we go... While I'm on that subject of just saying thank you and just a huge, 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 huge thank you. That's all I can say, because since we've been releasing these behind the scenes podcasts, we've had so many people reach out, haven't we, Bri? Yeah. Mainly on YouTube comments from beautiful people who have lost someone they love to cancer or who have died recently or not so recently and just shared, you know, just shared, this is okay. This is how I felt. This is what it, you know, this is everything about this is normal, and just the love that has come in from people. Honestly, it's quite humbling and incredible. And I'm not going to be able to say all the people, but I just wanted to give a quick thank you to the Scratching Kiwi, to Jill, to James Herford, to Angie Sainty, Robin Jan Bolton, Randy and Suzanne, Renata and Savis, Shelley, Tracy, thank you so much, John Lincoln, Anna. And someone said, and I can't remember who it was, but one of the comments said, our hearts beat with yours. And I thought, that is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. And if ever there was a reason to keep putting these cameras up and this microphone in front of us and sharing such vulnerable things like this, our hearts beat with yours. That just says everything that you could possibly want to say. So thank you so, so much. Every single one of you who listen to this and watch this and just be with us and have your heart beating alongside ours. And please know you are never, never, ever, ever alone. We are with you as you are with us. Thank you so much. That's all I'm going to say, but thank you so much. And I love you. I really love you. Thank you.
Yeah. So wrapping it up. Okay. So once again, thanks again, everybody. Thanks for those amazing comments. Keep them coming because it makes a difference. And that's what this is all about, isn't it? It's just trying to make a difference and passing it on. And, you know, if we pass it on to each other, then that's going to work, isn't it? Hey? So, and don't forget, Kia Kaha, stay strong. Kia U, stay true. And that's true to yourself. Okay. See you now.
Bye.
Bye. Let's wrap.